Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show contains strong language, adult themes, and frank discussions about taking drugs.
This is a Dave original podcast.
Welcome back to the Late Night Match podcast. Yes, we've got one too, with Jeff Norcott and Olga Koch. This is the last episode of the series, so if this is your first time, go back to the start. Rest of you, come in, sit down, well done, put your feet up. You've earned this. For the last time in this series, in this show, we take the biggest culture war battles and play them out in front of your very ears. We now join Olga and Jeff as they tackle one of the greatest issues of our time.
So hello and welcome to the last episode of Late Night Mash, the podcast. Yes, we've got one too, with me, Jeff Norcott, and Olga Koch.
It's been a ride.
Yeah, that's normally code for something else, but we can summarise at the end how we, you know, how we've changed as people throughout this.
We started off thinking what's left and right, and now I can't tell what's up and down.
Yeah, my head is really spinning with some of these concepts. I don't know why that... You know when you start a sentence, you don't even mean to sound sarcastic. Where does that come from? And you go, I meant that. But there's another part of me that didn't want me to mean it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Anyway.
I've dated British men before, Jeff.
Yes. I mean, a lot of my brain is thinking a thing and then going, wow, you think that thing. That's my wheelhouse right there. That bit between the guy that thinks the thing and the guy that's surprised that he thinks the thing. That's it.
Do you feel like the man who's surprised is the stand-up comedian?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like the guy that thinks it is funnier. You know, the guy that's surprised, I think, it is more of a commentator. You know, this has got deep in it for the top of the show. Shit.
Well, you had something deep to say, didn't you, about paranoia?
Okay, so paranoia. I was thinking the other day do you ever think about, oh, I've got a meeting with that person, I've got to talk to that person, then you sort of think, oh, they might have a pop, you know, about this, and then I would say this, and then, or if they said that, well, I would say, well, absolutely, have you ever thought about this? And then you just go through the whole thing of a row in your head. Do you ever do this?
On occasion, yes.
On occasion. That's the key. I've started to realise that I do it a lot. I mean, first things first, haven't lost a head argument for 45 years. Unbroken record. You know, it takes a while sometimes. I mean, and the fact that I almost lose arguments in my own head is... It's not great, but yeah, you just go through, like, you think it's a sort of a mild persecution complex in there. And I mean, is the 90s catching up on me with anxiety and all this stuff?
I mean, my question is, how many episodes of this podcast have we had in your head?
We're on season 5 now, and I've been replaced. I'm not even on the podcast. No, I just—it's weird. I sort of anticipate I'm going to be got at, and then I sort of go through all my. It's just a form of anxiety, isn't it? Catastrophizing, but then you spend a lot of time think about things that ultimately don't happen.
Well, my question is, do you think it's because professionally you're surrounded by people who top line politically don't agree with you, and you're used to being constantly making your political views palatable in your professional circle?
There's probably an element of that. Yeah, I do try to be reasonable, and I sort of try to find, but when you feel in the minority with a point of view, like, you have to work a bit harder sometimes. So there's that. And yeah, maybe like the period when I was on tour and Jeff had his own crowd showing up, it wasn't happening then.
Oh yeah, at your Edinburgh show, one of the most iconic like praise heckles that I've ever heard was the second you walked on stage, a man screamed, "No lefty tosh," and it was amazing.
No lefty tosh. Even the fact they used the word tosh was a real generation.
I had to ask my boyfriend what that meant. I had no idea what the word meant.
I mean, it does show the conservative mindset that he could have said like the worst swear words there. And he was, "No lefty tosh and nonsense," frankly. You know. So yeah, I think this has been, I think a lot of this series has been therapy for Jeff, hasn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, none of this. Andy has not been recording. Andy's not real. Is Andy in the room with us right now, Jeff?
Fuck, it's like the end of Fight Club. So I'm Brad Pitt, though. I want to be Brad Pitt.
Yes, obviously. In every movie, you are Brad Pitt.
Cool, because he's always eating, and so am I. You ever notice that about Brad Pitt? Always eating in films.
Is he?
It's something very carnal about the way he eats. I get why he does it. Like, it's quite manly. Like, I've always noticed when Joey eats a lot in Friends, you often hear a lot of women in the crowd cheering.
That's really interesting. You know, the second you said that, I have had a very, very erotic image in my head, and that is a man eating an apple with a knife. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you slice it off and you eat the apple slice off the knife. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I always thought that that was like, women would think that was lame.
Oh, I think that's so sexy. The second I imagined it, I was like, woof, because he's not scared of the blade next to his mouth, because he's man.
It's funny that some of this old-fashioned masculinity stuff is like, really, like, I've noticed how women respond to guys that can build shit now. Like, that is, like, even, I was doing a stand-up show the other day, and I was sort of, like, miming this guy who was quite attractive, the idea of him kind of planing down the surface. And I looked at all the women in the room, and I just saw them go into a different place in their mind. I was like, are you all getting off on the idea of him planing, like, a wood surface?
Hell yeah.
Do you think there's a counter-revolution coming back where we sort of go, do you know what? There is some really boringly cliched stuff that we all like. And for a lot of people, that's not going to change.
God, I'm about to say the most centrist thing in the world, but it's like, stereotypes are there for a reason. So like, there is some truth to them. Like, yes, there are people who are into it. Mm. It's just that there are other people who are not. So you can't just say everyone's into it, but it's reasonable to say it's hot when a person knows how to do a thing good.
Yes. Yeah, I had a mate once that when we were on holiday, he cracked open a coconut with one confident swipe of a machete. And I don't think that anyone, male or female, there has ever forgot that. Also, he could wear flip-flops with confidence. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, Olga?
I'm going to need to meet this friend.
Yeah, I will say this. Plenty of my female friends did meet him, and it didn't go well for them. He was a heartbreaker. Yeah, he'd meet them kind of in spring, and then no. He'd sort of meet them in summer, and then in winter he'd take them on an exotic foreign holiday, bring them fucking lychees in a beach hut, and then when spring came around, his eye would start to rove again. So he'd always end his relationships in springtime. He's like a festival touring comic, you know. He was always working up his next hour. And I realise even now that, like I'm saying this is just adding to the mystique of this mystery friend. So, look, email in if you want his details.
Yeah, he sounds hot, everything you're saying about him.
I know. The last email in, if you want his number, email in. And do please judge yourself harshly, having heard all that you've heard. If you still want his number, then, you know, whatever happens next is on you. I mentioned anxiety earlier, and I mentioned my fear that some of my anxiety perhaps comes from my recreational habits of the 1990s, which sort of ties into our first question, which is, should we legalise drugs? And now, are we saying, Andy, all drugs here, or just the cool ones? Okay, all right, so should we start legalising drugs? Should we start the process of legalising drugs? I mean, where are you at on this, Olga? Are you a big druggie?
My question is, how do you think your anxiety today is connected to your drug use in the 90s? Do you think it's like a chemical thing or?
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. What kind of drugs did you partake in the 90s?
The usual clubbing sort of things.
Cocaine, ecstasy, and pussy.
Yeah, boy, smash that. I didn't actually. I was in a committed relationship at the time. Fuck's sake.
With the sesh?
I think that there are strong right-wing arguments for legalising drugs, right? One is, you know, just get out of people's lives. You know, if people choose
small government vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. People want to mess themselves up. They should be free to do it in any way that they choose. And particularly in an environment where they could just pick a different substance, right? So it seems a bit churlish. There's also the tax revenue. I often think that people get annoyed about those stoner kids sitting over the park making noise at 10 p.m. What if you knew that was contributing to a penny off the pound? That would be a nicer deal, wouldn't it? So it used to, when I was younger, it felt like a left-wing debate, this. But now it feels like you could come at it from either side.
Yeah, I think we agree. I mean, maybe I'm in there for different reasons and more for people's safety and people not overdosing or buying mysterious substances off of strangers that are laced with rat poison and whatnot, and not being persecuted and feeding the prison industrial complex. There's many, many reasons why.
It's so funny how different reasons. Mum was like, I can pay less tax and people should be able to fuck themselves up however they choose. Yours like, people shouldn't die of drugs. I was like, yeah, there's that too. There is that too. I mean, it's also, you know, talk about the war on drugs. If there was a war that had gone on this long and had so few victories, you would have to go, I don't think we're going to win. Look, there's another dumb. This is what gives me caution for this, is this country. All right, I think it's largely decriminalised in Lisbon, and apparently it's all very grown up. And in Holland, we all know, they have all the fun stuff and they seem to be able to control themselves by and large.
Cut to them creating a cartoon about a man with a very long penis. The drugs have no effect.
Yeah, the drugs have no effect. Yeah. Next up on public broadcasting, multicoloured penis man. All right. The point is, can Britain be trusted? That's the point. You think about these other countries where they go, yeah, people just, you know, they just were just like, there was no real change in consumption. Whereas I think with my mates, people I know, if you was out drinking and you could just go and get a re-up of cocaine anytime you wanted, if we just use the evidence of the Euro 2021 final as a kind of
a case study.
Yeah, like what happened that day is part of what I love about being British. We you know, we can be session monsters. Though I do remember your point about every country thinking that. That's really stayed with me. It's so true. Everyone country deep down wants to think they're the biggest alcoholics, which is weird. But I do wonder, this country, one of the biggest cocaine consumers in Europe, if not the biggest, without any legal side. So you have to wonder what that becomes if it's made legal.
But you're okay with alcohol being legal, and alcohol is like more addictive than weed, let's say. In my understanding, more addictive than some hallucinogenic drugs as well. Tobacco as well.
And also, like, there is the top end of what can go wrong when you're, like, if you're stoned, if it goes really wrong, you just have to be alone with something like a glass of lemonade while you feel weird. With alcohol, you know what I mean? You could lose your job, steal a police car. You know, like the top end of both those things. I mean, I know it's almost like a very sixth form argument, you know, when people make the argument about alcohol, but you really wouldn't legalise it right now if it was a new thing and you just saw the effects on people.
Yes. But I think the alcohol argument to me just demonstrates how, like, hypocritical any argument against drugs is.
Just if you can hear a slight vibrating noise in the background, that's not me. I'm not that old. It's a washing machine and it's spin cycle.
And Jeff knows what the spin cycle is because he shares his housework because he's a modern man.
I'll have a word with the missus when she gets home. Go, you know, come on, babe. You knew I had two podcasts today. Can we just, let's communicate.
Look, doing housework while your husband is working is one thing. Doing housework and working around your husband recording podcasts is another.
Do you know what's funny about podcasts, right? Because even if, say, this podcast was like extremely lucrative, it's still a podcast and there's still something very hard. When I say to my missus, like, babe, I'm going upstairs to do my podcast, it does sound like I'm going to practice my DJing. Like, it's got no status.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, there's something really like, keep out.
Mom,
All right, guys, but this is my like whole career, so that's.
I suppose if you like, if corporations get involved, I mean, then there's other problems, aren't there? You know, once there's like the cynicism of corporations, what they'll do, they'll just reclassify what a gram is.
Yeah, I think, I guess we're in legalizing drugs, we're getting rid of the issues that are there, hopefully, fingers crossed, like mass incarceration.
Yeah.
And overdoses, etc., or the way that overdoses are currently dealt with. But then we're opening in a new can of worms with every... We're essentially extending all the issues that are currently around Big Pharma to more drugs.
That would be my concern.
Like all the stuff that's happened with OxyContin happening with weed.
Yeah,
and
they could
Molly and
just
stuff.
Make it more addictive. You know, they could find a pretext... for why that's good, because it increases the experience. You know, the user, the end user experience. They'd find some fucking parlant.
Starting prescribing opium a la Freud. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And then they just go, cocktails. They'd start, you know, there'd be a whole like branch. They'd know that they would have like 1 year where it's like the Wild West and they'd make shitloads of money on some really naughty gear. And I think that as well, you're right. Like, you know, there are problems where a lot of the people that sell drugs at the end point are young kids, disadvantaged kids on bikes. And so...
We're killing small business is what I'm hearing.
Well, yeah, so entrepreneurial, drug dealing. So unbelievably, like, pure capitalism, like it's pure and applied. And the government, of course, have had their recent thing of middle-class drug users, because they feel that this will play out well in the Red Wall. It's quite funny, really, because the law really can't distinguish between what class you are when applying the law. You just can't do it. But like, we're going to go after middle-class drug users. How? How do you do that? You just fucking raids on dinner parties? There's a Home Secretary there in a dawn raid somewhere in Shoreditch, some pop-up fucking tapas restaurant. But it plays out well, doesn't it? Because I suppose that there is that hypocrisy, aren't there? There's a lot of people there, particularly in big city centres, that would probably identify as, you know, being worried about disadvantage. But when it comes to getting their weekend Charlie, they will suspend all of
Should we get a bag?
Yeah. Should we get a bag? Does it matter there was a 14-year-old that brought it to us on a BMX? No. Thing. I just realistically, where Britain is, who we are, how we behave, I don't know if we could. I think weed, fine. I think the public are way ahead of both the main parties on this. But I just think cocaine, I think that with this country, we've got a weird relationship with cocaine and alcohol. Like it's, let's sort of fuel each other. Does it create a new substance when you have cocaine and alcohol? Cocabinoids?
Andy, what is it called when you mix alcohol and cocaine?
A top night out.
A fucking legendary Saturday night.
A Wednesday.
Jeff pretty much just nailed it. I believe it's cocaethylene.
All right.
Which is what happens when you take coke and alcohol. It mixes in the stomach. If you have enough of it, it can sometimes instantly kill you. But you've got to have a lot.
Sounds like a challenge.
But it can definitely cause minor strokes, which is the main worry about it. So careful, Jeff.
Minor strokes is everyone other than Julian Casablancas. Am I right?
Again, I'm off the reference. Who does Julian?
Jeff, there's a band called The Strokes, and the lead singer is called Julian Casablancas. So I said minor strokes is everyone other than.
I mean, I was up to that. There is a band called The Strokes. I remember. Yeah. I also should, for the purposes of this podcast, I have associated myself with certain lifestyle choices, and you know, I assert, especially if my son's listening, a degree of artistic merit, license. So counter to what the producer has just said, 45, I can't be doing without missing a night's sleep. Come on. Okay, philosophically, I think that we should legalize certainly cannabis, maybe certain amphetamines. I just think that once you get to cocaine and upwards, you have to acknowledge what this country is like. And I'm very patriotic, and I try to be positive about my people. I don't know if it's right for us. That's where I'm at, I think.
Would you say at the very least decriminalise everything?
Oh, decriminalise cannabis immediately. It is so weird. I mean, certainly anyone that's been at Bristol would have to say that there's a different law in Bristol, but no one seems to give a fuck there. So that's kind of happened. So why not formalize it?
But I think the question was from Olga was like, would you decrim Coke and above rather than legalize them? So you couldn't just knit to a corner shop.
Yeah, I think decriminalize all, but yeah, it's so moral because I say, or decriminalize drugs at a lower level when it's clearly for personal use. But then that means that the people that are supplying it might be younger and in a worse position than the people doing it, but they're the ones that can get done for having it, if you know what I mean. Whereas, I think what we've sort of realised is that we have a view on the legalisation of drugs. We also have hit an age where some of that stuff sounds kind of scary.
I think all drugs should be legalised. So I think it's right for kids not to go to jail. And I also think it's... Sorry, this is a little bit of a different point, but please bear with me. I'll be very quick. I think with the current legal scenario where alcohol is completely legal and all these other drugs are completely not legal, it delineates the drugs between legal and illegal, when in reality, the delineation should be addictive and not addictive. So I think alcohol should be taken more seriously because it is highly addictive. So I think we need to base policies more about the addictive nature of the drug versus whether it's currently legal or not. But yeah, does that make sense? Do you think that that's a better distinction?
I think that's an important distinction. I also think like there's addictive, non-addictive. It's also what do people do when they're really fucked up? Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And I think Coke and alcohol probably score pretty badly on both.
If taking the drug makes you want to start an app,
yeah,
that should be banned.
Or steal a police car. Banned.
And those are the two. The lefty evil is a new app, and the righty evil is anything bad done to the police.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm Olga's boyfriend slash her Gen Z man on the ground. Should people get aesthetic plastic surgery if they want to or if their girlfriend wants them to?
Wow. So that was quite a question there. From your boyfriend, should people be able to get aesthetic plastic surgery? Are you trying to pressure your boyfriend into getting plastic surgery? Because he looks great. I don't understand. Could look better though, right? I guess.
Always could look better.
Yeah.
Sometimes they look good and you want to keep it that way.
You want to get him used to it. You want to get him used to it. I'd started dating you because you're younger looking and it's kind of got to stay.
Yeah,
that
now
way.
It's time for preventative Botox. 25 forever.
It is. I mean, Botox often gets, you know, I've got some friends that dispute the connection of Botox and plastic surgery. It's not plastic surgery to have Botox, but some of the logic that people use about Botox always makes me laugh. Like you can hear the sales pitch coming through where they say it's like your brain, your face actually forgets where the wrinkle. Yeah, because your face has a fucking memory, doesn't it? It sits there all day just going, oh, I've got wrinkles here. That's not how the body... I hate it when people anthropomorphize that. It actually learns to not have wrinkles. Now it doesn't.
It's a scientific process. The over-intellectualized Botox, I love that.
Yeah, and I get it. It's, you know, there's a lot of people that do it now. And it's one of those things that I don't know, man. I find it... People that had Botox just look like people that have had Botox. If it actually made you look younger... That's the thing, is I don't think it often delivers on what it purports to do, right?
Right. Or if you do know they have it, that just means it's done poorly. Because a lot of the time, if it's done well, you just don't know it's happened.
Yeah, see, that's what people say. But then that makes it impossible to critique it in a way.
I think it's one of those things where I get very, it's a very, very murky subject just because there's so many contradictions within it. And it's like, I don't think the leap between getting false eyelashes and getting Botox is that much of a leap.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're doing your makeup, if you're dyeing your hair, part of it.
No, I agree. I agree. Right from that first time back in caveman times, when I guess, like, some girl, she pricked her finger and then she took a bit of blood and then she sort of put it across her lips, maybe a little bit on the cheeks. She unleashed a sort of arms race that would always be with us. Self-improvement, beautification. I bet all the other women in the tribe just looked at her and went, for fuck's sake, why did you do that?
She's been eating someone's pussy, this.
Do you know where you've started, Janine? This is now an arms race that will never end. We've all got to do this forever. And yes, men will do some of it, but every once in a while someone will do an article saying, well, men are just as vain now, but actually in the meantime women will have even more pressure to look good. So the disparity sort of remains. I mean, there's another element to this, right, which is like the technology of makeup has changed so much in my life. What girls are able to achieve in terms of how they look is beyond plastic surgery in some cases. Contouring, I mean, what the fuck?
It's such a mind fuck, because I fundamentally always want to come back to, don't tell people what to do with their own bodies. But then you have people who have anorexia and you're like, oh, I want to help them. So there is obviously things that people do to their bodies because of outer pressure, and you want to for them to make these decisions because they want to do those things out independent of the pressure. But it's impossible to know what it's like to live outside of the pressure because you have subliminal advertising at you 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's tricky for me, because I don't know. And also, I'll be different from subsequent generations of men who I've noticed are more into the grooming, you know, spend more time on their image. I probably have some sort of coding in me that says, yeah, you're all right, Jeff, you know? And that's a very lucky thing to have. I can see that my hairline is receding. Maybe that's the one thing where I think it'd be nice to kind of pull that down a bit again. But then everyone go, Jeff, you weren't strong enough to just deal with a receding hairline. That, to me, if I'm being totally honest, that's what I'm advertising to the world, is I wasn't willing to just accept what DNA and nature dealt me. I had to intervene.
But then we don't have that type of attitude towards teeth, do we? I don't know.
No,
it's
a very fair point.
There's so many completely arbitrary lines that we draw that make absolutely no sense.
I mean, the only thing with teeth is you do need them to eat and chew stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, like, but hair. Like, we don't judge people who make the cosmetic decision to get nicer looking teeth. We also don't judge people who dye their hair. We judge men who dye their hair, but we don't judge women who dye their hair. All of it makes absolutely no sense. Like, there is no logic to it.
And also, the culture of women's hair dyeing is now so embedded where you just realize that I don't think I know any women that have their natural hair color beyond a certain age. Like, none. And then they also say stuff like, I'm dyeing it back to my natural color. And those are just those sentences that make a geezer like me go, what? I don't even get it. I don't get it, man. You're dyeing it back to its natural color. I don't understand.
But it's also it's so ingrained now and it's been around for such a long time. No one's going to accuse you of being a bad feminist for dyeing your hair.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's now out of the game. That, like, the fact that women dye their hair for their whole lives, it's not even up for discussion anymore. Maybe that's what happened with plastic surgery. I don't know.
And that's a little depressing, isn't it? Even in our recent memory, Botox became more acceptable than it was 20 years ago.
I suppose the sort of moral argument is that your face, it does capture. It's your only means, really, your main means of expressing itself to the world. And if you were to lose that, I think that I don't know if that trade-off is good enough to look a bit younger, but sort of lose a way of communicating how I felt. It feels like quite a big trade-off. But, you know, look, I've got a great face, so maybe I'm talking from face privilege. You know?
You also need your eyebrows to do posters for your comedy shows.
I need these.
How could you possibly do a poster in which you're not raising your one eyebrow inquisitively?
Yeah, quizzically, yeah.
There it is. You can't lose that. You're not Jeff Norcott without that eyebrow.
No. Imagine if I just brought the hairline down a bit and then the eyebrow could touch the hairline. I mean, I've had a few pals that have had the hair thing done. It's such an involved process. I don't think me or my generation, largely of blokes, have any real sort of match experience for that level of self-sacrifice to look better. Like, I won't even, if I wear a suit, like my wife really wants me to wear a suit for a wedding that goes with what she's wearing. If it's itchy, I'm like, I'm not wearing it. I'm like an 8-year-old boy. No, not wearing it.
What about going to the gym and getting the ripped look where it's past being healthy and into just being vain and defined and cut? And when you're like starving yourself just to have that definition. I honestly think that it's all part of the same world.
No, I agree. And also flattered that you'd even put that question to me because I'm so obviously, it's so obviously not relevant. I've clearly taken
I'm
a
worried
similar
about
decision.
How much time you're spending at the gym, Jeff.
Hey, you're not the only one. Sorry, you are the only one. It's the opposite. Well, one of the things about gym culture is it's so obviously unsustainable, isn't it? It's like hyperactive GDP growth. You go, well, it just has to fall off at some point. And I just think with plastic surgery, I do have, and maybe it's an era you were brought up in, you know, because there was so much bad work done in the 80s, right? You just sort of turn on Wogan and you see that Burt Reynolds' face had fallen off. You go, fucking hell, that's not good. But like you say, I don't know who's having it now.
But your argument against plastic surgery is stuff like, but I can tell when you have Botox, or Burt Reynolds' face is really ugly. So it's not saying don't do it because fighting aging is a futile task, or the standards of beauty you're reaching towards are bad. What you're saying is, oh, it's not going to do the thing that you think it's going to do. If in a perfect world, the plastic surgery is achieving the goals that you wanted to achieve, that's when we should be asking, should we do it? Because makeup is doing what you're intending it to do, or hair dye is doing what it's intending it to do. And so we're not questioning it. So is the reason why we're dislike plastic surgery is because its effects aren't as intended.
Yes, and obviously we haven't even mentioned boob jobs yet. We haven't even
talked to me about boob jobs, Jeff.
Well, it's a funny thing that a lot of blokes, you know, because the age that I'm at and around, a lot of my mates' wives are like, I'd quite like, you know, to sort of get them done. That's always the phrase, isn't it? I'd like to get them done. And the blokes are always initially like, no, babe, you don't. But if you are going to get them done, let's make it worth it, yeah? That seems to be the way that the discussion generally goes. And then so they'll just say they want an uplift, and the bloke will go, yeah, you can go up a cup size, you know. So it's a negotiation. It's a negotiation. But I still think, like, at that age, you've got kids and stuff like that, you know, going under surgery to have nicer tits.
Full-body anaesthetic.
To have nicer tits. I can't. I know this isn't my lived experience. I don't know what it's like to have, like, nice boobs that go away and all of, you know. I don't know how that feels, but I do know that I think you try and limit surgery. I will try and limit surgery in my life to stuff that helps me not die.
The argument about it being empowering is much easier made about any other body part other than boobs, because boobs are so inherently like eroticized. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And
it's harder to be like, I'm doing this for me about boobs than any other part of your body.
Yeah, I do think that, like, when people that I'm doing this for me thing, I go, okay, you're gonna live in isolation for the rest of your life and no one will ever look upon you again. Are you having a boob job? So no, probably not. So it probably is a bit for other people. I don't know what women's relationships like with their boobs, when, you know, when they, I don't know. I mean, the dick, I mean, could you have Botox on your balls, like, smooth out that?
I really fucking hope so.
Just going to chuck in the words breast reduction on boob job as well, because that's something worth talking about. Because people do that just to, like, make sure their back doesn't hurt so much as well as.
That used to get always, like, before we really understood why that would happen, that would always be, oh, sacrilege, why would you ever do that? And then you go, well, she had back problems and that, like, seriously in pain the whole time. Oh, it's a bloody shame, isn't it? Not for her. I'm being feminist now, and I, but I must admit, once upon a time I said stuff like that. I did.
Holy shit, guys. Scrotox is a thing.
Yes, finally. Baby, Sam, Scrotox is a thing. You can put Botox in your wrinkly balls.
A lot of this will come down to how
I like him too.
Why am I? I love this. Why are my testicles saggy? Well, because they're bits of skin that carry two small balls. I mean, I don't. How much do you need explained for you? Testicles sagging tips debunked.
Is equality all genders doing Botox or no genders doing Botox?
Yeah, I think I often refer to it in my philosophical dealings as the equality of misery. Yeah, like we make boys really uptight about the way they look, or we make everyone less uptight about the way they look.
But that's because corporations profit of creating insecurities in us. The amount of insecurities that have been planted in me by beauty companies are insane. I went to a place to get my mustache waxed, which is like, okay, I guess I'm insecure about my upper lip hair. Sure. And the woman just looked at me and said, are we going to do the cheeks too? I'm sorry. What? I didn't think that my peach fuzz was a basis for insecurity. The amount of insecurities that are planted in us is fucking insane.
Yeah,
I used to have my eyebrows waxed. Why? 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 They're fine. I haven't waxed them in 3 years.
Well, I mean now, but this is some things do evolve back. The younger woman favor a stronger brow.
Then it comes back to how I get annoyed by the word beautiful, because it's like we're now making beauty virtuous and moralistic when in reality beauty is purely aesthetic. So it's like being beautiful should be worth nothing. And instead we're being like, everyone's beautiful. That beauty isn't a thing.
It will. I mean, the only thing I think about beauty is that for some, whatever reason, female beauty has been aspirational for a long time. It's been around a while, isn't it? Like there's something, and a lot of women would concur with the idea that they find as women aesthetically better looking. And you think if something's been around that long, maybe there just is something there. The kind of, you know, like a design classic. Maybe we mentioned this before, but like, you know, like baked beans. They just look great. The design. You go, maybe women are just a better design. And therefore,
the fact that you say baked beans are vile, sir.
I didn't know, not the product. And also, it's just like the worst. I was trying to allude to something higher, and I used the cans
Baby,
of baked
you're so
beans.
Beautiful. You're like a can of baked beans. Timeless.
You could get away with that if you was from
glistening.
Like a mining town in the US. Baby, you're so beautiful. You look like a goddamn can of baked beans out there.
I'm not denying aesthetics. I'm not saying that like a beautiful woman isn't a beautiful woman. What I'm denying is the assigning of moralistic value to beauty. The idea that like, I hate that.
Here's an interesting thing is that there was a lot of studies found recently that ugly people were more likely to be found guilty of crimes and sentenced for longer. And this prejudice, in the report I read, it was a while ago, so feel free to fact check, but was seen to be bigger than race, like how if people liked your face.
Okay, Jeff, what I'm hearing is aesthetic elective plastic surgery allowed? Yes, for people awaiting trial.
Yes. If you really want, that is, don't get a good lawyer, get a good surgeon.
Thank you. Oh my God, that's amazing. I fundamentally completely agree with you now.
Don't get it, because that's what you want to be walking in there. Because like, I mean, fucking Ted Bundy. I mean, have you seen the footage of him and the judge going, well, you know, kissing his ass in the trial? Go, well, Mr. Bundy, I'm sorry, yeah, but you do seem like a fine gentleman. Why? He's got a nice face. That's it. Maybe it's a leveler.
Do you see that? I think there was an article about this called like some getting the Instagram face, that like all plastic surgery isn't necessarily making different people. Plastic surgery is making everyone look the same.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, there is a sort of a generic look. But then again, that there's something democratic about that too, isn't it? It's instead of having like this world where you get the absolute stunners like Angelina Jolie, it's like everyone kind of has the same face. And you just do your own twist. It's like a twist on a classic, you know?
So do you think that the quest for true equality needs to end with plastic surgery? I guess is the question now, isn't it?
But then we're into issues of access, financial access. It's all well and good talking, you know, if I'm trying to be more progressive these days, what we need, plastic surgery in the community. Let's level up Britain's looks.
Jeff wants a nose job on the NHS. You heard it here first.
Now I'm paranoid about my nose.
Because you're worth it.
Because, I mean, forehead surgery, yeah, absolutely. Let's lose a bit off the top, please. I get so much shit. One thing as well about being a bloke that's funny is obviously, you know, I do, you know, with being a woman on television, it's a different ballgame. There's a different level of scrutiny and criticism and stuff. But people just think because you're a bloke, and if you're a blokey bloke, they just say the most brutal shit. If I get a lot of forehead stuff, sniper's wet dream, those kind of insults. I think the credit to Bob Morton for that. But yeah, a lot of people use that line.
So your argument is we either have state assistance so people can get plastic surgery whenever they want, or we should ban it.
Yeah. I think anything in between is not progressive.
Oh, I genuinely feel I am so lost. I think this is aptly the very last episode of the season, because this is the one that I refuse to have an opinion on, because I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is apt, because Jeff has come to an opinion so mad I don't think Jeff believes it, and you have refused to make one.
And also, Jeff's opinion is the fact that it has to be provided by the government, which is an argument that is towards big government, which is a little bit on the opposite of what Jeff would think.
Yeah, I think it's like, this is like a left-wing argument from the year 2180. Yeah.
I'd say this is probably your most left-wing when you are arguing for the government to have more involvement in people's lives, whereas it's the most right-wing I've been, because I'm finding myself almost stopping people from doing what they just want to do.
Well, be honest, when we started this, you must have been apprehensive about working with a gammon, let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. Flag shagger, Brex shitter, you know, Tory fascist. You know, I mean, all of that stuff is potentially tricky. Obviously, I am going in there working with, well, what are the insults of your community, Olga? What is
snowflake, cuck. Lib cuck.
Woken,
do you think
Easter?
I'm a snowflake lib cuck?
No, I think you're far more complex than that. You know, woken Easter. They always put Easter on the end. You aren't part of a brigade, though. That's interesting, because there's always been brigades, isn't there? The PC,
the
brigade,
woke brigade.
Do they have a brigade?
Yeah, the woke brigade.
But they, yeah. I wonder what their vehicle would be. Slow, I'd imagine, but powered by biofuels.
Electric.
There you go. Look, I did a little woke slam at the end there, but you could tell my heart wasn't in it, because I say it, the culture war stuff, it's time in the post-Elizabethan era to start coming together again. That's what I think. I genuinely think. And facing you down in no man's land on these wedge issues, I don't want to go back to war. I want to keep playing football.
Oh, and at the end of the day, whether you're on the left or on the right, we can all come together to dunk on polyamorous people.
Yeah, fuck. It's not a thing.
Thanks so much for listening to this series of the Late Night Mash podcast. Yes, we've got one too. If you've enjoyed it, please tell your friends. All podcasts survive on people listening to them. And of course, there's always the TV show to watch if you haven't already. All episodes are now available to catch up with on UK TV Play, so check them out. And finally, the credits. This podcast is presented by Jeff Norcott and Olga Koch. The producer is Andy Goddard. And the executive producers for Zephadron are Peter Holmes, Ruth Phillips, and Chris Stott. The production manager is Charlotte Bracey. The production executive is Charlotte Hopkinson. Legal and business affairs are Vicky Forrest and David Christian. And the director of operations is Deborah Blackensall. The executive producers for UK TV were Ian Coyle and Mark Idden. The podcast is based on the Late Night Mash, the TV show, the format of which was created by Zephadron Limited and the Daily Mash. I've been Andy Goddard, and thanks so much for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to nose around a comedian's house, take their stuff and see how much money you can make by selling it?
No, that's a pretty niche thing, to be honest. Bit creepy, really.
But that's the premise of Dave's brand new comedy podcast, Hard Sell, with me, Josh Jones.
And me, Darren Harrier. We're going to travel the country, visiting the homes of different comedians, chatting about their spending habits before grabbing one of their favourite possessions and giving ourselves 1 week to try and sell it for charity. In a competition to see who can raise the most money.
It's a right laugh as we get to meet amazing funny people like Kima Bob, Joel Dommett, Ria Lina, Ivo Graham, Josh Pugh and lots more.
But also sort of like an incredibly stressful cheese dream where we're trying to shift what are essentially stolen goods against the clock. It's bonkers.
Hard Sell with Josh Jones
and Darren Harrier.
Available now wherever you get your podcasts.